The following is a recording from the sermon files of the Beacon Church of Christ. To God be the glory always.
About husbands and wives today, we are going to shame the husbands, encourage the husbands this morning, and we will encourage the wives this afternoon. The passage, of course, that we're going to be looking at today will be from Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 22 and following. If you would like to turn there, we will begin our discussion of husbands and wives, husbands being the topic of discussion for today. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 22, says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Look back at verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Husbands, love your wives. The two overarching themes that we're going to notice today are the love that a husband is to have for his wife, and the reverence, respect, that a wife is to have for her husband. You have to wonder why that these are the two things that Paul seems to hone in on here. Why does he specifically mention the love that a husband is to have for his wife, when really a wife is certainly to love her husband as well? And why does he mention the reverence or respect that a wife is to have for her husband, when really a husband ought to treat his wife with respect, treat her the way that he ought to treat her? Why does Paul then hone in on love for the husband and reverence for the wife? Well, I believe there's a good reason for that. And I believe that the reason for that is because these are two things that a lot of times husbands and wives don't get right. Now, let me give you a typical scenario, and for those of us who have been married for a few years, you will recognize this because it's probably happened in your marriage. Here's the scenario. Pre-marriage. Young man tries everything he can to impress his wife, or his soon-to-be wife, I should say. He begins to dress like she likes. He takes an interest in the things that she likes. He buys her flowers. He opens the door for her. He spends way too much money on her, although he gladly does it. The whole nine yards. He wants to know everything about her, so he asks her 20 questions. And as she talks to him, he listens intently as she gives the answers. And then one day, he finally works up the courage to say those three little words, "I love you." And he means it. He is infatuated with this woman. He absolutely adores her. He loves her more than he even loves himself. Then he calls her and talks on the phone 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a night. And then we hear, "You hang up. No, no, you hang up. No, no, you hang up." And that goes on for another hour or so. And then finally they go to bed and they can't stop thinking about each other because they are in love with one another. Now fast forward to post-marriage. Husband walks through the door after work. Honey, how was your day? Good. Then he sits on the couch and proceeds to watch TV. Did you do anything interesting today? Not really. Keeps flipping through the channels. And then finally, she finally gets some words out of him. What's for dinner? Right? And then the fight started. Right? So what is it? What happens between pre-marriage and post-marriage that men, and again, I'm picking on the men this morning. Don't worry, I'll pick on the ladies tonight or this afternoon. But what is it that sometimes we men begin to think differently after marriage? Well, we've won the prize. We have married her. So now we don't have to expend quite as much energy in pursuing her. Wooing her, if you will. Does the husband still love her? Well, of course he does. He loves her very much. But does he still show his love for her like he once did? Many times, that's not the case. And so, husbands, myself included, we need to think about that. We need to show our wives the love that we have for them. Well, how much should I love my wife, Paul? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Back up to verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. What does every girl dream about in her future husband? Prince Charming is going to come on a white horse and he's going to save the day. That's what girls dream about when they think about their future husband. And oftentimes, it's like that while they're dating. He's on that white horse. He is Prince Charming. He takes her home to the castle, and then sometimes things change, right? And again, this is maybe exaggerating to an extent to make a point, and sometimes it's not exaggeration. Honey, I told you I loved you when I married you, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. Right? Sometimes we hear that. Well, that's not the kind of love that Christ had for His church. And so that's not the kind of love that we need to have for our wives, those of us who are husbands. Paul says that husbands are to love their wives so much that if it comes down to it, and the situation arises where I need to give my life for her, then I need to be willing to do that. I shouldn't have second thoughts about that because I love her more than I love myself. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus said. And so husbands ought to love our wives so much that we wouldn't think twice about giving up our life for her. That's how much Jesus loved you. That's how much Jesus loved His bride, the church. And so we need to love our wives the same. Not only that, but you also need to present your wife a glorious bride. Ephesians 5, verse 26 and 27. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Just as Jesus desires that His church is to be without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, or any such thing, but holy and without blemish, a godly husband desires the same thing for his wife. No, this isn't talking about from a physical standpoint. This is talking about from a spiritual standpoint. A godly man desires a godly wife. A Proverbs 31 type of woman. By the way, those of you who are not married need to be thinking about and need to be searching for a Proverbs 31 woman if you desire to marry. a woman who's going to be a good mother for his children, a good helpmeet. Literally, a suitable helper is the idea, a helper that is meet or fit to help him and his children. And so a godly man is going to do what he can then to help his wife to be godly too. And how does he do that? A godly man, a godly husband, is going to lead by example. Why? Because he wants to present his bride as a godly bride. That's what Jesus did for us. Jesus said, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you," John 13, verse 15. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, "Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Jesus left the perfect example for his church, which is his bride, teaching us to be holy, sanctifying, and cleansing us by the washing of the water, by the word, and husbands ought to learn from this and be the example for our wives and our children as well. A godly husband wants nothing more than to present his wife to others in such a way that everybody knows that she's a godly woman. She's a godly wife, she's a godly mother. His heart doth safely trust in her so that she shall have no need of spoil, Proverbs 31 and verse 11. Well, how can he do that save that he is properly loving her and being the example for her that he ought to be? Verses 28 through 31, Paul says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Paul quotes from Genesis chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. "And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken from man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh." That one flesh union is more than just the marriage bed, although that is part of it. This idea of being one flesh means that husband and wife are to be one with another. Not a day goes by then that a husband and wife should be separated from one another. From an emotional standpoint, from the standpoint of their love for one another, they are to be in it for the long run, in it for life. Matthew 19, verse 6, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Marriage is meant to be a lifelong commitment. And oh, how we wish that there were those today who understood that commitment before they tie the knot. Question, can a man truly be committed? Can a man truly be committed to his wife if he is not nourishing her and cherishing her? He can't. Therefore, he needs to continue to pursue her. Continue to love her, continue to be emotionally available for her, to communicate with her. One of the biggest problems that men have when there's trouble in paradise is that we tend to shut down. When our wives have a problem with us, and granted, a lot of times that's self-inflicted, we're not perfect, we make mistakes, and when our wives come to us with a problem, instead of talking those problems out, what do? We shut down. Just ask Lindsay. She'll tell you. Right? We shut down. I don't want to talk about that. Leave me alone. That's not the kind of love that Christ had for us. When Christ experienced problems in this life, He didn't shut down and He didn't give up. He pushed through those problems. He pushed all the way to the cross and He died on that cross for our sins. He died for His bride. And so therefore, those of us who are husbands, we cannot just shut down and act like the problems aren't there. We've got to work through those problems with our wives. We've got to continue to love our wives and be there for our wives. We've got to nourish and cherish our wives. When she struggles, a godly husband's right there struggling with her. When she hurts, he hurts. He's there for her. He's nourishing her from a spiritual standpoint. He's making sure that she's growing in her walk with Christ. He's the spiritual leader of his household that God requires him to be. And if he is doing all of that correctly, and she is a godly woman, then chances are she's going to respond with the kind of respect that he craves so much. A godly man nourishes and cherishes his wife. Think back to when they were dating. Do you think he cherished her then? Do you think that he told her how much he cared about her, how beautiful she was? You're the only one for me? That mindset must be maintained throughout marriage, throughout life, because he loves her more than he loves himself. Well, verses 32 and 33, Paul's recap, if you will, of this passage. There's a great mystery. This is a great mystery, rather. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Paul wraps all of this up by saying that what he's been talking about is an analogy between Christ and the church, and a husband and a wife. The most important relationship in this world, I believe, a husband and a wife striving together, again, in this world, of course, the ultimate most important relationship is our relationship with God. But of our worldly relationships, a husband and wife, a team working together to get one another to heaven and to get their children to heaven, is the most important relationship. And to show that with this analogy, the very similar relationship between a husband and his wife and Christ and his bride, which is the church, Paul says he's making this spiritual application. A marriage cannot work as God intended it to work if a husband is not properly loving his wife. Loving her in the sense that he would be willing to give up his life for her if necessary. Selfless, sacrificial love. Loving her in the sense that he continues to pursue her, gets to know her, communicates with her, dwells with her according to knowledge, Peter would say. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Giving honor unto her as the weaker vessel. That is the kind of love that we are commanded to have as husbands. Loving her in the sense that he spiritually nourishes her and cherishes her as the gift that she truly is. Husbands, if we do that, then we're going to be on the right track. We're going to be the kind of husband that we need to be. We'll display the kind of love that's worth dying for. and our wives will respond by following our leadership if they're godly like they're supposed to be, which is what we'll talk about this afternoon. Jesus loved everybody in this room. He loved everybody in this world more than we'll ever know. Jesus loves His church, His bride, more than we'll ever know. Why? Because He died for it. He purchased it with His own blood. How are we responding to that love? Do we love Him in return? Do we show Him the reverence, the respect that He is due? Do we keep His commandments? Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do we love Him? Christ loved us like He loves His church. He died for us because He died to purchase His church. And so if we love Him like He loved us, then we'll obey Him. It may be the case this morning that you've not been obeying Christ. I don't know what the situation is in your life. Only you and God truly know. I may think I know. I may have an idea. But ultimately, where you stand right now, God knows. You know. So make sure that you're standing with God. Make sure that you're obeying Him. You are loving Him. God loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son so that He could die for us on the cross, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He did that for us because He loved us. What are you doing for God in return? Do you love God? Do you love Christ, your Savior? Do you love the Holy Spirit? Do you love God? If so, then you will obey God. And the fruit of the Spirit will be seen in your life. If you need to respond in obedience today, if you need to obey the gospel so that you can avoid the punishment that's coming in flaming fire when Jesus returns for those who do not obey the gospel, then please obey the gospel today. Put on Christ in baptism. The one who loved you so much that He died for you wants you to die to sin and put on a new man, Romans chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 2. You can do that by being baptized into Christ, having repented of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ this morning. Please do that if you have not done that. And it may be the case that you've done that, but you know you're not living continually in obedience to Christ. If you need to make changes this morning, and those changes be of a public nature, then please do that as well. Whatever the case may be, I encourage you to come forward if you need to, as together we stand and sing.
You've been listening to a sermon from the Beacon Church of Christ. Perhaps you'd like to hear more of these sermons in person. We would love to have you visit our congregation. We are located at 2326 Jonesboro Road in West Monroe. Join us on Sundays at 9:45, 10:30, and 2, and Wednesday nights at 7. A warm welcome awaits you. Come see us soon.